everyone. This week, we're bringing back a great episode from the depths of our show archives. It's one of my favorite topics. Is it ever okay to say no to a customer? Give it a listen, and we'll see you with a brand new episode next week.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to our weekly Support Ops Hangout. I'm your host, Chase Clemens. If you haven't seen the show before, this is our weekly discussion centered around the customer. So we talk customer service, customer support, running support teams, you know, making the support experience better, all that kind of fun stuff wrapped up into a weekly, about a half hour chat or so among these fine people. So just like last week, we're tackling another question from one of you this week. So if you've got a question you want us to tackle in a future show, head over to supportops.co/question and drop your question in there, and then we'll get it slotted in. Before we get into this week's guest question, let's go ahead and check in with all of our awesome support pros. How are things in San Francisco, Carolyn?
They're really wonderful. I'm getting another one of my people. Everybody's moving to San Francisco slowly. Yeah, Daniel, my weekend warrior in Louisville is moving to San Francisco this week, so we're getting another one.
So he's like leaving Louisville to move to San Francisco?
Yeah. Wait, what?
Is it just like a short trip, or is he like actually moving from Louisville into San Francisco?
He's moving. Yeah, so exciting.
That's
I know, I keep having to hire other places. I used to worry about the West Coast. Now I'm like, actually, I'm going to migrate here eventually. So.
And then we've got Chase Livingston from Automatic. How are things, Chase?
Going very well. Glad to be here.
And then last but certainly not least, Jeff Vincent from Wistia, the awesome Jeff, who's just, he's just awesome. How are you?
I'm good, Chase. Thanks for saying that. I appreciate that.
You know me. I'm just trying to bring a little smile to your face today. Just trying to make things a little happy.
I'm even better now than I was about 35 seconds ago before you said that.
See? My job is done. The job is done. So this week we're talking about if you should be saying no to customers. This was a really good question that came in from Ben from Emma, which, Carolyn, Emma is where you used to work, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So there's our small world connection. She knows Ben. This is awesome. Yeah. Anyway, Ben wrote in and said, something I've been thinking about recently that I'd love to hear your thoughts on. Is it ever okay to say no to a customer? I know we all have tricks and tips on ways to share to say it without actually saying it, but do you think there are ever support situations where the word no is really the right word for the job? So that's what we're kind of going to be talking about today. Since Carolyn has a past with Emma, we'll go ahead and let her take a crack at this first. Carolyn, should you know, talk about your happiness arrows. Do you ban them from ever using the word no?
I don't ban them from anything. No, we don't. I don't think that would be a tough thing to say across the board about any word. I don't have the same feeling about the word no. I think that what I often do and what we often do and what my team often does is say no and then explain it. But I think no is really clear, actually. And I think that that's really useful sometimes. If people say, you know, can I do this? You can you know, walk around it until you're blue in the face and say, it would be really great if we could do that, hopefully someday in the future. Like, there's a whole bunch of ways, but if you don't just say the answer, then sometimes they can be like, wait, so yes or no? So I often will just be like, no, sorry, but then say something else.
Chase Livingston, does this ever come up with you when you're like chatting with a customer? Have you ever had to been like, you know, customer wants to do some crazy thing with WordPress and you have to be like, no, that's not what it does?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we just have to do that, whether it's no, but it's something we're working on, or no, it's probably not something that we're going to do, you know, at all. Yeah, sometimes we just have to say that, because we definitely get some pretty crazy requests from customers.
Yeah, I think a lot of times whenever, like, we, or for me anyways, whenever I have to use the word no, it tends to be feature request related, right? So it's, is Basecamp ever going to have Gantt charts? No, we're not ever going to have Gantt charts. We just aren't. And there's no way to, like, get around that, say it nicer or anything like that. It all comes back to, no, we're not doing this. So, Jeff, when it comes to a feature request with Wistia, you know, is there anything that, that Wistia takes a hard line on and says, you know, no, we're just not going to do something like this?
Oh, muted.
I'm still muted.
I muted myself so I could eat chips. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, good. All right, let me try that again. Chase, you can fix that in post, right?
yeah, sure.
So I think it's really important, actually, to be able to define for your team what you are and are not going to build, which I guess is essentially your product vision, like where you guys are going. Because otherwise, every feature request they have to, you know, maybe someone on your team has to, like, go bug somebody and say, hey, is this something we're going to build, right? Or they're always stuck in this kind of, like, what Karen was talking about, they're always stuck in this, like, middle ground where it's like, oh, we might do something like that. I don't know when it might happen. And then, like, a year later, this person's like, hey, you lied to me. You told me we were totally going to do this, and we didn't. And, you know, that's happened before to us where we should have taken a bit of a clearer line, and we didn't. And I think a lot of it comes down to fear of, like, letting them down, right? Fear of having a hard conversation with a customer or potential customer, potentially losing the business. And what I always tell the folks on my team is, like, we're here to create happy customers, not to create people who feel obliged to pay us some amount of money and are never happy. They're always bummed out when they have to do that. So if they're not happy with the current feature set, then we're not doing our job to, like, trick them into buying by setting some, like, weird, you know, unclear, vague date when something's going to be done. So I would agree with Carolyn that I would never ban any word. I would encourage them to use no where appropriate. I guess it really depends on the context. In Sarah Hatter's book, she has a section where she talks about, you know, you should never use the word no when describing something. I think it was like a static resource, right? So if somebody says, hey, do you have this? Instead of saying, no, we don't have this, you might say something like, you know, at this time, this is not something that we're pursuing, right? Something like that. So sometimes you have to wrap the no because you don't want to come across as being like, what a stupid question. But I think I would leave that up to the person who's writing the email. And I think you'd be in dangerous territory if you said something like, we don't say no. Because then you're forcing them to sort of tiptoe around the situation, which I think is bad.
Yeah, so Chase Livingston, do you think this ever, like, have you ever run into a situation where you had to say no to customers where it wasn't feature request related? Maybe it was, you know, I don't know, like, can the WordPress team, like, migrate something over for me or something like that? Have you ever ran into those times where you had to say, no, we're not able to do that outside of feature request?
Yeah, occasionally we get something like that. You know, because we're working on WordPress.com support, we can't really step over, number one, because we just don't have the time, and number two, with WordPress.org support, we don't have access to your site and the kind of the analytics and the tools that we use to diagnose problems like we do on WordPress.com. So if somebody comes to us and, you know, asks us a question about their self-hosted WordPress.org site because, you know, they just see the WordPress and think that we just support everything, you know, sometimes we have to, you know, just tell them no, or at least try to point them in the right direction. You know, no, maybe we can't do this exact thing for you, but here is, you know, kind of a relevant forum article or something like that in the WordPress.org support documentation that will at least kind of get you started and get you going on your way to solving the issue.
So what it feels like is that all of us are basically, you know, there are times where no is appropriate. It just can't be that's the end of the conversation for the customer, I think. Carolyn, do you think that's an apt description here where, you know, maybe it's you tell a customer no, but you always let them know, hey, here's the next step you could take to get that?
Yeah, if it's related to the product, yeah. We get a lot of messages that are, I want to write for your blog, or I want you to write for our blog, or I want you to sponsor this social media conference, or a plethora of other types of questions that aren't really related to supporting the product. And unfortunately, just due to the fact that, like, it's not even really our call a lot of the time, we just have to say no and have that be the end. And that sucks. But again, kind of back to Jeff's point, like, we would rather say no and disappoint them and give them the time to go and explore other options versus saying, like, yeah, maybe let me check with my marketing team, and then 3 months have them follow up and be like, oh, man, like, I really thought that you meant that, but you didn't, and that sucks. So, yeah, if we know the answer is going to be no, which it is, you know, way more than 99 times out of 100 in those cases, then we try and just be really honest up front. And, you know, those are, that's the time when we don't use tons of, you know, I'm not going to pretend to be super thrilled by disappointing them. I'll say, like, I'm really sorry. I know that it sucks that I have to tell you no, but like, you can still be really kind about it and really empathetic about it. But yeah, I think especially in that case, it's almost better to just kind of be really honest from the get-go.
So how do you deal with customers that email you at email in or Buffer, or chat, tweet, whatever, to you and say, hey, Buffer really needs this certain feature, and it's something that I need for my team. And if you do this, you know, lots of times customers will list out like 5 different reasons why you should do this and that kind of thing. You know, how do you handle those kind of situations where customers are telling you what your product vision needs to be?
Yeah, this reminds me of Jeff's example of always talking about, like, the people who ask for the different checkboxes, and at the end of the product you just have a bunch
of checkboxes.
Yeah, it's just one checkbox. So these I am much less interested in casting aside, because I think that they, like, to be honest, I think that our customers know how our customers use our product way better than we do, despite the fact that we talk to them all day long. I am no longer, and haven't been since the second day I worked at Buffer, been the target user anymore. Like, I was, which is why I was interested in the company and why I was, like, following them and why I took the job. But as soon as you start to live and breathe your own product, you're just, I just don't have those eyes anymore for those types of opportunities. So I usually do try to ask more questions in those situations, because there have been a lot of times when somebody has said, hey, this would be really useful, and our product team has gone, huh. And they don't necessarily build it, but sometimes that sparks a really interesting conversation about what that sort of product would mean. And are we even thinking down that path? And, you know, sometimes we do have a really clear vision of what's on the product roadmap. And sometimes they're like, hey, let's try this. And then, like Daily was a good example, a totally separate iPhone app that came out of the blue. And then it was like a big product that we're supporting 2 weeks later. So, yeah. So in those cases, you know, I like the example. I wish I could remember where I first heard it. But, you know, customers ask for a drill bit, but what they really want, a 3-inch drill bit, but what they really want is a 3-inch hole. And so if you can ask questions and say, like, okay, what is it that you're really trying to achieve with that? Sometimes you can figure out, oh, you can do that this other way, or, you know, here's another product that might be able to do that, or whatever. Yeah, I would, long story short, I think we can learn a lot from those conversations if they're willing to indulge us with that. So I try not to just say, I mean, unless it's like, do you have access to post to Instagram? Then we're like, no, sorry. That's a little different. But like, if it's less of a, like, checkbox and more of a bigger concept, we try to drag them back into the conversation. Selfishly.
So for listeners that haven't heard Jeff pontificate about the checkbox and everything else, Jeff, can you kind of give us just a quick, you know, a quick summary or whatnot of how Wistia looks at, you know, oh, just add a checkbox for this one feature.
Don't do it.
Yeah, cool.
I'm trying
done.
To shorten
That's all we
up
need.
My
That's
pontificating.
The sound we need,
just don't do that. Yeah, I mean, I think customers can be very persuasive and very good at making impassioned arguments for just add this one checkbox so I can do what I want to do. I think in the long run, what you want to do is take a step back and, like Carolyn was getting at, learn more about their situation, learn more about their context, combine it with other people who talk about that same feature. And when you go, you know, when someone on your team goes back through to update that feature, maybe talk about a V2, or they come by and they say, like, hey, like, this has been really popular lately. How can we make it even better? You're so totally at the ready, right, with the idea of, oh, well, we could do this, we could do that. I don't want, you know, we certainly don't want to create this squeaky wheel-driven development where we work on the features that people complain about all the time, right? We want to also make sure that we're paying attention to the rest of the customers who are super happy and maybe never need to ask us for anything. But if we looked at what they were using, it has nothing to do with what those one or two customers who are like, hey, just add one more checkbox for like push to Basecamp. And we're like, that's coming in V2, I swear, because Basecamp's like the best. So just don't add checkboxes, please. You're going to end up with just a page full of checkboxes.
The junk drawer. It's the junk drawer full of settings. Every app has it. I guarantee it. Hit the hamburger icon and go look at the settings link and tell me how many different checkboxes there are there. I mean, that's just how it is. I was setting up a Twitter app the other day, and one of the things that kept bugging me was like all these notifications that were coming in from it. And I looked online, and people were like, yeah, there's a junk drawer full of settings. You just have to go in there and figure out which ones you want on and which ones you want off, which is just – I get that it's all about customization. I get that I finally got it how exactly I wanted it, but it was a lot of work to get there. It just – it's kind of like, you know, I know there's a screwdriver in that junk drawer somewhere. Do I really want to go rummaging through it, though?
Yeah, what if I avoid the junk drawer? One thing I wanted to say about the topic at hand is that a lot of times when someone on your team or multiple people on your team has one of those squirmy no conversations, like they find themselves again and again kind of explaining themselves, like, oh, you know, I really wish that I could do this, and I can't. You need to, I think it's important as the support lead or someone who's making, like, these, sort of putting these rules in place to take a hard look at that and figure out why that's happening. I guess features are certainly one thing, but I'm sure everybody in every support team has things that they have decided not to support for whatever reason. And you just want to make sure that there isn't a better way to communicate that. I think that what happens when you have trouble saying no to something because you're not super clear on why we don't, right? Like why it's a no. So you're like, oh, I'm really sorry that I can't do this, but you know, I'll look into it. Like I'll talk to our engineering team because you feel really bad. You feel like you don't have a good explanation for it. And sometimes that's because we've set up arbitrary rules. And I just would implore everyone to look at the rules they set up and make sure that they're not stupid and arbitrary. So an example of this for us was we were getting a lot of pressure from the folks who work on our financials to update our refund policy when it came to annual subscriptions. People pay us annually, that would then get, you know, broken into month chunks and put in the books as revenue. And if somebody wanted a refund for their annual subscription, prorated or not, we had to go back and update all the revenue that we'd received each month. But they were like, hey, there's no one else that does it this way. You don't want to do it this way. Like, just rethink that. And at first we thought, okay, well, a really good rule would be if you sign up for Wistia for a year, and then after 1 month, you know, within the first month you want to cancel, we are happy to give you a full refund. But after that, we won't do it. And sure enough, like the very next day, there was someone who had been on Wistia for 2 months. And they were like, hey, the person who signed up for this left the company. Like, we'd really like to get a refund back. And sure enough, the awesome support person on my team was like, shit. The rule we put in place doesn't make sense. This doesn't feel right. And they had a squirmy conversation with the person. And, you know, when we sat down and we looked at it, and it's like, that was completely arbitrary. The 1 month thing, totally arbitrary. The backend that we use to process payments allows us to get 3 months of payment. So if the payment was made more than 3 months ago, we cannot retrieve it. We'd have to write you a company check in order to make this work, which can get really sloppy really quick from a tracking perspective. So then we created a rule that said, if you want to cancel within the first 3 months and you want a refund, we will give you a complete refund. no questions asked. That is completely fine. If you want it after that, we're not going to do it. And the people on the team are much more confident to be able to say, sorry, can't do it. You know, the payments backend that we use prevents us from doing that. And I'm sure we'll run into cases where we still want to do a refund, but we don't have an arbitrary rule. Mm-hmm. Which means you don't have to have these really tough conversations where you as a support person feel like you're not doing quite the right thing, so you're tiptoeing around the problem, and you carry that around in your head the whole day, right? You feel guilty about it. You're avoiding them writing you back and being angry. You don't want to think about it. And instead, we want people on our team to be able to take those types of conversations and be super confident about their choices. I guess for feature requests, it can be really hard to get around that. My suggestion would be just sharing product vision internally and making sure the roadmap is clear. But for those other ones, like, take a hard look at why that conversation was so awkward, because it might be that you've put a really dumb rule in place that makes no sense to anybody.
Yeah, you brought up a good point with there being, you know, like this support people hate saying no to customers. I think really all of us just don't like saying no if we don't have to. Chase Livingston, why do you think why do you think we struggle with this so much? Why is it, you know, a lot easier for a designer to say, no, this isn't going to get in versus us saying, maybe, yeah, no, I don't know.
Well, for one, I think the designers probably aren't interfacing directly with the customers on a day-to-day basis like we are, so it's easy for them to tell us no when, you know, we're not, you know, whining and crying and complaining like maybe the user is. And two, I don't think we would be working in customer support if we didn't have at least some level of empathy and kind of thoughtfulness towards our users and our customers. So, you know, inherently we want to make them happy because we want them to keep using our service so that, you know, we'll continue to have a job basically, and our service will continue to grow. So, you know, I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but those kind of stick out as the two biggest for me and why we, you know, don't want to or don't feel like we want to say no.
And just to kind of wrap out this whole conversation, we're going to come back to Carolyn to kind of finish things up. Carolyn, you know, Buffer is known for its, I think we joked about it before and called it like unicorns and magic language or something like that. Like you're always cheerful. You're always excited and happy and you know, all that kind of thing. Even when you were talking earlier and saying, you know, if I have to tell a customer no, it's usually like, no, sorry, you know. So how do you tell a customer no? Like what's an easy way to tell a customer no without trying to play these games and hide it behind, well, maybe.
Yeah. I thought that Jeff's point about sharing the product roadmap internally was a good one, because if you feel like you can be really honest with your customers, then it doesn't feel squirrely. I mean, obviously, you don't want to say we're releasing this in June, because that can sometimes go back to bite you. Holla, Emma. Holla, Ben. I know what you're going through. You know, I think at the end of the day, like, people are just really rational and they're really understanding. And, like, when you're just totally honest with them about, you know, we can't do this or we won't do this, you know, one that I get a lot is, I would really just love 5 minutes of Joel's time, please. I just want to pick his brain about this one thing, or I just want to interview him for my blog, or I just want to ask him for a quote for this book or whatever. And I just tell them really honestly, like, I'm not saying no to you. I have to say no to everybody, because he gets so many requests for his time that, like, it's just not fair for me to follow him around and, like, ask him for his time. And the response we get from that is totally fair, and people are usually like, yeah, I figured as much. That makes a lot of sense. Like, thanks for giving him the time to, like, be a CEO and continue to work on our product as opposed to, like, saying yes to every whim. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of a lame answer, but really it's the truth. Just try and be really honest about what and why. And that's kind of the best advice I have, I think.
That's a solid point to end it on. So if you have any advice or, you know, want to tackle this question along with us, let us know. supportops.co/question is, again, a good place to get in touch with all of us. Let us know what you think about, you know, is it okay to say no to customers? Did we get it right with this one? Did we completely miss it? And you think we're all just crazy or whatever? Not that I do. I think we got it pretty well. but yeah, let us know what you think. supportops.co/question or hit us up on Twitter at supportops, or I'll make sure all of our Twitter handles are in the show notes as well. So with that brings us to the best part of the week. Sorry. It's this week's shout out.
What happened?
He was way off on that one. We need to get like a new sound guy.
I was trying not to laugh, and I couldn't help it.
Oh, so these are the things that are making us happy. So happy we want to shout them out from the rooftops and let you know that these are making us happy. Since Jeff was the architect of that little space right there, we'll let him go first. Jeff, what are you shouting out this week?
So useless I am. Shouting out this week, I am excited because I just bought my ticket to DelightConf. DelightConf is in October this year in Portland, Oregon, and it's all about creating delightful experiences. And I'm just super jazzed that this thing exists. I've been really struggling to find a conference besides UserConf that actually makes me excited to go. And DelightConf did it.
Easy enough. So, Chase Livingston, what are you shouting out this week?
So I'm shouting out Marco Arment's new podcast app called Overcast. It's no secret that I love podcasts and listening to them and that kind of thing. So tried his app out the first day it was available, and it has now become my default app. So if you haven't checked it out, there's some really, really cool features that none of the other, you know, popular apps have.
Better than Pocket Cast, because that's my podcast player.
Yeah, I'm loving the smart speed functionality of Overcast. It like dynamically reduces silence and that kind of thing in the podcast. So it saved me, I think it shows you the stat, but just in the couple of weeks I've been using it, it saved me like 90 minutes of listening time.
Well, nice. And last but certainly not least, Carolyn, what are you shouting out this week?
I want to shout out Product Hunt this week. That's one of those things that I think like, oh, I shouldn't shout it out because everybody knows about it. Like that would be like shouting out Google. But I think that's just because I live in San Francisco and I know Ryan. But Product Hunt is list. It's blog is not the right word for it. It's just basically a place where people can like announce the latest stuff, and you can submit things and vote. And the idea is that it's not just apps, it's kind of like anything, any product. So it ranges from this new app that is for podcasting to like emoji stickers that you can buy. to like all sorts of stuff. So I spend about an hour every Saturday looking through that, and it's really, really fun to just see what's out there on the internet and in the world. I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, that's one of those that I pop in about once a week or so. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I didn't know this existed and that kind of thing.
Totally.
Awesome. So the thing that I'm most excited about this week, and it's a tentative shout out again. I'm hedging my bets on this one because I only started using it this week, but it's been pretty good this week. It's an app called Trove. If you're an use junkie like me, I could never find the right combination between like RSS feeds and checking certain sites and all that mess to get the good source of news that I want, sources of news that I wanted. So news. I was kind of in this, I know, news is, what a weird word.
Love it.
Totally made that up. But yeah, I was in this weird place. Like I couldn't find an app that would bring all that together for me. So I finally found Trove. I think it was like an Apple App Store pick or something like that. And it's working really well so far. It's all sorts of different feeds coming in from sports news to world news to politics and entertainment and tech and all that fun stuff. So if you're a news junkie and looking for a way to get a handle on all of it, just give it a shot. Trove is the name of the app. With that, this show is in the books. We'll have the notes up at supportops.co very shortly. Like we mentioned a couple of times during the show, if you've got questions, let us know, supportops.co/question. And if you've got some time, go ahead and open up iTunes and leave us a review. It goes a long way to getting the word out about the show, and it just makes us all happy, you know? I get to share good reviews with these guys and lady, and they get excited, and it's just, it's a good thing. So do that if you get a chance. Other than that, I'm Chase. We'll see you again next week.